And now today's scripture reading, it's found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. This is the portion where the angel is speaking to Joseph and helping Joseph what's about to unfold in his life and in Mary's life. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary as his wife. He did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Thanks be to God for the gift of Scripture. And now I invite you to join me for a word of prayer as we begin the message. Lord, I pray that whenever people receive this message, wherever they are, that you will be there with them and that you will open their ears to the word that you would like them to hear. Be with us, we pray, in this way, with the one who speaks and those who listen. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. When golf courses first came to India, they discovered a unique and new obstacle to a game that was already full of obstacles. When golfers teed off, whether they hit it off the tee box or whether they were out in the fairway, when they would hit their shot and it would land on the ground of the fairway, all of a sudden monkeys would appear. They'd come out of the rough areas beside the fairway, and they would pick up the ball, and they would be just fascinated with it. They would look at it. They would taste it. They would hold it. But ultimately, they usually would get bored and just throw it one way or the other. These monkeys came out time after time, picking up balls and throwing them this way and throwing them that. And at first, golfers tried to control the monkeys. They thought to themselves, we'll build high fences. So they built really high fences in certain parts of the golf course, thinking that'll keep the monkeys out. But they soon realized, you know, monkeys are pretty good at climbing. They climb all the time. And so those ambitious monkeys would climb right over those fences and come right onto the fairway and pick up the balls. And then they decided, you know what, we can lure the monkeys away. We can give them better things to be interested in. But no matter what they tried to use, the monkeys just found those balls more interesting. And they would go onto the fairway and pick up the ball and throw it this way and that. Finally, they thought, we'll trap the monkeys. And they built traps, and the monkeys entered the traps, but every time they carried a monkey off, a new monkey would come right back in to replace it on the fairway. Finally, the golfers embraced their reality. They realized that they were playing in the midst of monkeys, and so they made a new rule. And the new rule was this: play the ball where the monkey drops it. Play the ball where the monkey drops it. As you can imagine, playing in this unique way could be maddening, because sometimes you would hit a beautiful shot straight down the fairway, and the ball would go true, and you'd just be congratulating yourself, and all of a sudden the monkey would appear and pick up your ball and throw it in the rough. And likewise, you might hook or slice the ball, sending it one direction or the other. And then the monkey would go in the rough, pick up the ball, and to the dismay of your golfing partners, throw it in the center of the fairway. You just never knew what the monkey was going to do with your ball. There were good breaks, there were bad breaks. But what people soon came to understand was this: we cannot control what will happen with our best shots, much less with our game. You have to play the ball where the monkey drops it. Friends, if there's ever been a year to live by that rule, it's 2020. Because I'll tell you, if your year has been like mine, and I think it has, there have been a lot of bad monkeys in 2020. And so the question is this: what do we do given that that's our circumstance? Now, maybe 2020 has been a good year for you. I've talked to people who have said, you know what, it's not been that bad. I've talked to people who have said, I've got really good job security. And in fact, we're traveling less, so we're doing really well. I've spoken to people who said their marriage is stronger because they've spent more time together. Their family is closer. I talked to one person who was really introverted. He said, I've had the best year of my adult life. It's been fantastic. Maybe that's how you've experienced 2020. But I think a lot of people haven't. A lot of people have experienced it in just the opposite way. No matter how well they hit their shot, the monkey just came in and picked it up and threw it someplace they'd never intended it to go. For a lot of people, it's been hard on their employment. It's been really hard on their business. For a lot of people, it's brought financial insecurity. Some, it's brought a loss of health due to the pandemic. Others have found frustration with their child's education, concern that they might be falling behind. And even more, effort after effort, shot after shot, the monkeys just keep moving the ball. And quite frankly, it can be a little maddening. People miss their families. They miss their friends. They miss the life that they used to enjoy. And they're experiencing that especially right now in this week or two before Christmas. Because in this time zone, people are really realizing that perhaps their holiday plans are different. And that's just been one more ball that's been moved. Well, no matter where you are, the hard fact remains, you and I have to play the ball where the monkey dropped it. What other choice do we have? Now, this is going to be an unforgettable Christmas. It really is. For good or for bad, it's going to be an unforgettable Christmas. And the question that's before us is this: what are we going to do in this Christmas season? And I want you to think today about what it means to be resilient. What does it mean as we get to the end of the year to have this unforgettable time? And I think if you're like me, you want to look back on this time and remember it for the way that we were resilient as the people of God beyond our circumstances. Resiliency is the capacity to recover quickly when we experience crisis or hardship. Resiliency is the ability to prevail beyond our current circumstances. And here's some good news. Being resilient is different from being self-sufficient. Many people associate those two as the same thing, resilience and self-sufficiency, but they're not. Sometimes resiliency is found when we know that we're not in it by ourselves. And in the Christian context, what that means is that we know that God is here and God is with us. That's the power. God is with us in a difficult circumstance, and that, I think, makes all the difference. Now, that's what we learn in the scripture today. Joseph is approached by this angel. That had to be pretty rude, literally a rude awakening. He's in a dream state, and the angel comes to him, and the angel gives him this unusual word. And there it is in verse 23. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Emmanuel is an important word, and it's an old word first used by a prophet in the Hebrew Bible, what we would call the Old Testament. Emmanuel means God is with us. Joseph learns that Jesus, this newborn son, that's the name he's supposed to give the child, is God. Now, just think about receiving that news from an angel for a moment. That your son is the incarnate deity. That's how the Christmas carol says it. God has come in human form, human flesh, to live among us, to be with us. You see, God has been telling people for years that the dwelling place of God will be amongst men and women, but for many people, it just didn't feel that way. Now God is doing a new thing. God is going to come and dwell in human form. And that's why this word Emmanuel is really important in the Christian life. The Virgin Mary will have a baby boy, the angel says. And when that child comes, everything is different. 2,000 years ago, in a little community called Bethlehem, a child was born to Joseph and Mary. Emmanuel was not the name. Jesus was his name. Emmanuel is a name, but it functions almost as an adjective, as a description of who Jesus is. Jesus is God who is with us. Now, if you're not a Christian, that might be a really hard thing to believe. But it's a powerful thing to think that if God exists, God wants to come into our world. And not just in any way. God comes to a humble couple in a difficult setting. When the baby is born, they lay it in the feed trough of an animal because that's what was available. This God comes into our circumstances, whether they're good or bad. And Jesus is that child. Now, friends, as you think about God being with us, know that this was foretold by the prophet Isaiah centuries before it ever happened. Isaiah said that a child was going to come and save us from our sins, that this child would reconcile people to God and restore creation to its original beauty. All of that had been foretold. So when Joseph heard this from the angel, he wasn't hearing brand new information. He was hearing the fulfillment of a very old scripture that he and Mary had learned by going to synagogue each week. God was with them. And friends, when we receive that message, when we experience God with us, something very powerful happens in our lives. And the main thing is it really changes how we see ourselves. If you and I accept Jesus into our lives, and especially in this time of preparing for Christmas, we realize that God really is with us right now. Well, it makes us realize I'm not alone. I may be by myself with no other person around me right now, but God is with me. When the monkey drops the ball way over in the tall grass, or the monkey delights in carrying it right over to the sand trap and pitching it where it's really hard to hit out, you're not by yourself in that situation. Now, I don't know what's going on in your life right now, whether you're on the upside of this or on the downside. But what I do know is that everybody experiences life differently when they know God's with them. It reminds me of Psalm 121 and the promise that that psalm proclaims. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. That psalmist understood that God was present. And think of what that does to anxiety when you and I know that God is with us. It just allows us to lower the tempo that anxiety is creating in our lives. It's more than that, though. I think that when we know God is with us, it changes how we see the circumstances we're in. You know, when that monkey drops the ball in those uncomfortable places, those places where it's really hard to figure out, what am I supposed to do now? What club do I play? What action do I take? When we realize God's with us and we're not alone, it allows us to think differently, to see things differently, and sometimes to see opportunity when it looks like all there is hardship. I don't know if you know the name Pete Fraites. Pete Fraites was in his late 20s. He was playing baseball in an amateur league. And when he got up to the plate, the pitcher threw sort of a wild throw, and it hit Pete in the arm. Well, a day went by, and it wasn't healing properly, and the injury just felt off. And so Pete did what you ought to do. He went to see a doctor. And when the doctor examined him, he realized he was hearing things from Pete about a situation that went far beyond a baseball injury. The doctor ran some tests and did a further examination, and it brought back bad news. Pete had ALS. It was discovered that he had ALS, that the disease was starting to progress, and the disease would eventually be terminal. Now, you talk about the monkey putting the ball in the wrong place. So what do you do in that moment, that circumstance? Well, it could have been the beginning of a sad story for Freites, but instead, he turned it into a story of redemption. He decided that he was going to do something in the midst of all that, and he threw himself into raising money for ALS research. Freites decided that God had a mission for him, and I want to read this quote. "This is the hand I've been dealt. I'm at peace with it. There are people out there who don't have my support system. They don't have my advantages, and I want to help them," and help them he did. Pete Freites is the guy, I don't know if you remember just a couple of years ago, Pete Freites is the guy who thought up the ALS Bucket Challenge. You remember people sitting in the chairs on social media, and somebody would come up behind them, and they'd dump a bucket of ice water on them. And I don't know what it was about those videos, but it was just delightful time after time after time to see them. Well, with that idea, Pete Freites raised over $200 million for ALS research. In fact, the ALS Association said, "Pete Freites changed the trajectory of ALS forever. He showed the world how to live with a fatal disease." Even as the paralysis progressed, even as he lost more and more capacity, Pete Freites knew that God was with him, and he decided to be that small light of hope in the midst of a darker space. He never stopped. To the very end, he was resilient. He fought, he helped, he made a difference. He gave hope to other people, and his resilience was so great that he became a source of hope to family and friends alike. When the time came, and when he died, his family wrote this in his obituary at the very beginning. "Today, heaven received our angel, Peter Freites, a husband to Julie, a father to Lucy, a son to John and Nancy, a brother to Andrew and Jennifer. Pete passed away surrounded by a loving family peacefully at the age of 34 after a heroic battle with ALS." Friends, when Christ comes into your life, it changes how you see even, and maybe even especially, the hardest circumstances. It just shifts how you look at things. Pete could have been bitter, but he found ways to bless others and advance needed research for ALS. Let me ask you something. As those bad monkeys have been messing around with your 2020 and you're closing out this year, can I ask you something, especially as you prepare for the celebration of Christ's birth at Christmas? How about you? How about me? Are we those people? Are we the people that see Emmanuel, God is with us, and because God's with us, we're more resilient. We're better able to bring hope to other people. We're not just sort of, you know, crying in our cereal over everything that's been happening or is happening right now. You and I have an opportunity right now. And when we know that God is with us, it changes how we see ourselves, our circumstances, and quite frankly, it changes how we see other people. We begin to look at the people around us with a greater compassion, a greater empathy. But you know, what helps with that is to do what ancient people called practicing the presence of Christ. This Emmanuel word has to be more than a title. It has to be something that you actually experience. And you just sort of go through your day and you ask yourself, well, if Jesus, not what if Jesus was with me. No, Jesus is with me. Therefore, how should I be acting right now? How should I behave right now? How does that affect how I see other people right now? You see, when the monkey messes with your ball, you can start getting angry, not at the monkey, but at the other golfers right around you. Maybe you've had that experience. I know I have. Have you ever noticed that as we've gone through the past year, we've all been dealing with this pandemic, but some people act like it's just their ball that gets moved. Have you noticed that? And it's almost like they're just amazed that this is happening to them, when in fact what they're describing is happening to you and to me and just everybody else. Knowing that God is with us changes how we see our circumstances, but also changes how we see other people. You know, sometimes in the midst of a stressful time, the monkey grabs your ball and does something with it. And rather than being frustrated with the monkey, it's easy to start getting frustrated with the other golfers instead. And I think that probably happens to all of us. But I don't know if you've noticed during this time of the pandemic, sometimes people talk about their situation as though they're the only one experiencing all the ways the monkey is messing with us. And it's almost like the rest of us are having a normal life, but they're not. And sometimes, frankly, I get a little bit that way myself. And so when Christ is with us, I think he brings to our lives a gentleness. He brings to us a deeper compassion and empathy. And it changes how we interact with others when they start to get frustrated about what the monkey is doing with their ball. You know, just recently I was in a large store. I was returning an item. And the store had really made preparations for this, but when I came, I actually went at a time I thought not many people would be there, but I was wrong. Plenty of people were returning plenty of things. Well, they were prepared. They had three lines, three cashiers, and they had spaces marked, space one, space two, space three. When I walked in, all nine spaces were full, and so I just walked over and stood over to one side, and then a person went, and the space cleared up, and the man who was in position three on the second line, he turned to me. He said, "This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Can you believe they're doing it this way?" Now, there was a part of me that wanted to judge him. There was a part of me that would say, "Hey, buddy, you know." But you know, the thing about God being with you, Jesus being with you, is I found with Jesus, he doesn't care about physical distancing. He's just right up in my face, and I felt something in that moment that was not me. In other words, it's not me being a really great guy. And so I turned and I looked at that guy and I said, "You know, I'll tell you the truth. Since this whole thing started, I hardly know how to do anything. I think they're probably doing the best they can, and we're doing the best we can, and we're just all in this thing together." Now, I couldn't see under his mask, but I don't think it was a big smile or anything. I think he was probably a little frustrated with me, but I just thought, standing there, I'm going to help this guy. Like, I'm going to steal all of his excuses to be grumpy. And I just sort of felt Jesus standing there being sort of in on it with me, you know. And so, remarkably, his line didn't move, but mine moved. So I got into the second position. And then the guy that was in front of me took no time at all, and I moved from position two to position one in no time, and there I was in front of the cashier, and then I felt that nudge that Jesus gives you. And so I turned around, and I looked at this man, and I said, "Hey, friend, why don't you just come on up here? You've been standing here a lot longer than I have." And I stayed in position two, and he moved over from three over into one. And it was amazing. He looked at me, he said, "Are you sure?" And I said, "Absolutely." I said, "Listen, you've been here a long time, and you know what? It's Christmas time. Just come on over, take your time." It was really amazing, the shift. You could sort of feel his shoulders just relax a little bit. And as he was being waited on, I thought, you know what? Maybe he feels anxious about being around a bunch of people. Maybe he really is in a hurry. He's got someplace he's got to get to, and he thought it was going to be an easy thing to return this the way I did. What I know is this. When he walked away, he turned to me, and he looked at me, and he said, "Hey, thanks." And I said, "Absolutely. Have yourself a great evening." And off he went. You know, it wasn't a big sacrifice. It wasn't like, "Oh, wow, Tom's so great." Not at all. It was that when you really believe that God is with you, it changes how you see other people. It changes how you see the circumstances that everybody's in. Now, I want to ask you, how are you seeing your life right now? Are you feeling alone, or are you reminding yourself and are you recommitting yourself that God's with you? You're not by yourself. Maybe that's something you've never done, and now's the time to just simply say, Lord, I want to receive you into my life. I've heard what Tom's talking about. I'd like to experience that for myself. It can be the most humble of prayers. God's going to hear it. The second thing I want you to ask yourself is this. How are you seeing your circumstances right now? They may be easy. They may be really difficult. If they're more difficult, can you imagine that God might use this time to do something remarkable, not with your circumstances, but with you in your circumstances? That's all you can control, isn't it? And if you're in a great time and actually everything's going well, could you think about how might I be really generous? And then how are you seeing other people? And can I invite you to do an exercise? It's as simple as 3, 2, 1. Take a piece of paper and write down 3 names, people that you know. Or people that you know of. You know, maybe it's the person that delivers your paper. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a friend or a family member. 3 names. That's 3. Now write down next to each name 2 options. 2 things that if you did one of those 2 things, it might just help them know that they're not alone. It might encourage them. It might be a blessing to them. And after you write the 3 names and the 2 options, make 1 choice. I'm not asking you to do 6 things. I'm asking you to, out of the 6 things, choose 1. 3 names, 2 options, 1 action. And when you do that, just imagine for a moment, in that situation, do you feel like God's with you? Emmanuel means God's with us. I'm not alone. God's with me in my circumstances. God's with me when I'm working with other people. And I think that's the secret to Advent. It's living my life in such a way that I believe the scripture is real, that I believe that God really is with me. And that changes everything. Just think about that for a moment.